Our second scripture reading is a New Testament reading from the book of Acts, from the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 1. It's a long reading, but it's a good story. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter, and he will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "And God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning again. It is a joy to be here worshiping with you on this Sunday. It is always a beautiful day to worship God, but as I look outside and see the sunshine, it's actually coming in through the windows nicely. It just reminds me what a beautiful day God has given us, and it is a joy to be here with you. I'd like to begin by sharing two stories with you, two modern stories. And the first is about a woman who was waiting for a flight at the airport. She had several hours before her flight was supposed to leave, and so she went in one of those little airport shops to get herself something to read. She picked up a novel, and while she was there, she got a little bag of chocolate chip cookies, and she went out and sat down in the waiting area, the departure area. And she was so engrossed in her book, but all of a sudden she noticed that, well, she was sitting here, and there was one of those little tiny low tables next to her, and then there was a man sitting on the other side of the table. And she noticed that he reached across to the bag of cookies that was on the table in the middle, and he took a cookie out of the bag. Well, how dare he do this? How dare he take one of her cookies? But she didn't want to make a fuss about it. She wasn't one to make a scene, so she just let it go. She just reached in and got a cookie herself. Kind of looked at him out of the corner of her eye. Well, pretty soon he reached in and he took another cookie out of the bag. She was getting more and more incensed, but again, she didn't want to make a scene with all these people around, so she just looked at him and she reached in and took a cookie herself. And this went back and forth for a while, and she just didn't want to say anything, but she was getting more and more irritated at this man, this cookie thief, who's taking her cookies. Well, he had a lot of nerve. And finally, can you believe this? He reached in, he took the very last cookie, and he took it out, and he looked at her, and he smiled. He broke the cookie in half, and he gave her half of it. Imagine that. Gave her half of the cookie like he was doing her a big favor. And he ate the other half. Well, she just couldn't take it anymore. She just took the cookie out of his hand, a half a cookie, and she looked a little bit incensed, and she picked up her luggage, and she walked off. It was time to get on the plane anyway. She got on the plane. She sat down, and she put her bag under the seat. As she was doing it, she realized that her bag of cookies was in her bag under the seat. She had been taking his cookies the whole time. She thought that he was the cookie thief, but he had an identical bag of chocolate chip cookies that he had put on the table while she was reading the book. Did not notice it. She thought he was taking her cookies, but instead, she was the one who was the cookie thief that day. There's another story, and this one was apparently true. It was in the newspaper about an elderly woman who was finishing her grocery shopping. They asked the usual question, do you want help getting to your car? They started to ask me that. I don't know why, but they have. She said, no, I can do this. And she took her cart out to the car. And as she approached, she realized there were four men sitting in her car. And she thought, they're about to steal my car. Well, she couldn't believe it. So she dropped her groceries. And she pulled a handgun out that she happened to carry in her purse, this elderly woman. And she pointed at the men in the car and she said, I have a gun and I know how to use it now. Get out of the car. We can't believe how fast those four men jumped out of that car. And they went tearing across the parking lot. She thought she was just so grateful that they left so easily. And then she put her groceries in the car and she sat in the car to get it going. And she put the key in. But the key wouldn't go in the ignition. Just wouldn't go in. She couldn't get the key to go in. And she tried for a while. And then she looked around and she realized things looked a little unfamiliar in the car. It didn't look like her dangly things hanging from the mirror and the other stuff around the car. She thought, this is not my car. My car is parked four cars down. It looks the same. It's the same gray car. And she realized that she had just chased these four men out of their car. And while she knew she better, she just put her groceries in her own car. And she got in her own car and she drove to the police station to turn herself in because she knew right from wrong and she knew she had to do this. Well, the desk sergeant that she told the story to nearly fell out of his chair laughing because he pointed to the other end of the counter, way down, where four men were reporting a carjacking by an old lady. By an old lady with thick glasses, curly white hair, less than 5 feet tall, and carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed, and eventually they had a laugh about it. What both of these stories have in common, though, is that there is a twist at the end. There is a surprise. The ones we thought were on the outsiders, turned out to be the insiders. They turned out to be the people who had it right. And the ones that we thought were right turned out to have it wrong. And sometimes it reminds us that sometimes we are so absolutely convinced that we are the ones in the right. And then something happens in our lives and we realize that we've got it all backwards. We have it all wrong. The Apostle Paul had this kind of an aha experience where he thought he knew exactly the way it was. But something happened that really changed his perspective. You see, there was a big controversy in the early church about whether Gentiles, whether outsiders, had to first become Jews before they could become followers of Jesus. And for a long time, Peter was part of that group that thought, yes, they do, that these outsiders, these Gentiles, have to first become faithful Jews and follow all the Jewish law. And after they do that, then they can become Christians. He basically thought that they were something less than he was, and they had to become like him and his people first. But then something happened to him. And if you read the book of Acts, you find this story shows up about three different times. First as it's told originally and then as it's retold a couple of times. But what happened to him is he had a vision, like a dream. And in today's New Testament lesson, he is telling about this vision to the Jerusalem Council, to the Christians in Jerusalem. Because he knew that they needed to hear it too, because they also needed to have a change in perspective. So Peter tells about this vision he had in the city of Joppa. He dreamed about a large sheet being lowered down from the heavens. And just picture a large tablecloth that's being held by the four corners being lowered down to earth. And on this large sheet, this tablecloth, there are all kinds of animals. animals that were considered by the Jewish people unclean. And the voice from heaven said, take, kill the animals and eat them. And Peter, of course, said, I won't do that. I'm a good, faithful, religious person here, and I know the rules, I know the laws. And he objected because he said he had never eaten unclean food. He knew the boundaries. He knew what was acceptable and what was considered unacceptable. He knew what was on the inside and what was on the outside. What was clean, what was considered unclean. He knew the traditions, the dividing lines. But the voice from heaven said, if God calls something clean, don't call it profane. And there's a word that's used in here for when God says something, when God declares or decrees something. And it's a word that's almost, it's a word of power, like the word dynamite, that God has the power to make things the way God wants them. So if God calls something good, if God calls something clean, don't call it bad or unclean. If God doesn't make distinctions, then neither should we. And Peter understood that the message was more than just about the food that he was allowed to eat. It was about people. It was about all kinds of people. And the message he understood was this: if God loves the outsider, the foreigner, the person who is not respected or protected, then we should accept these people too. He understood the message: we're all made in God's image. God made us good. God loves each and every one of us. And if God calls a person good, then who is he to argue with that? Who is he to disagree? You know, we live in a society that does argue with that, with the truth that God loves every person. In the news, we hear about people again and again being put down, thrown down, left out, pushed aside. We hear about whole groups of people being told they're not worthy, not smart enough, not good enough, not welcome, not rich enough, not included. This is the way our world treats people so often. We hear leaders saying that people are on the wrong side, on the outside. And we see the story of Peter as he tells of his vision and how he says he finally understood. If God chooses to give gifts to people, if God chooses to call people good, who are we to disagree with God? We need to be open to seeing the gifts of others too. Recently I heard of true stories from some mission workers in Haiti. Remember back when that earthquake happened in Haiti? It was a terrible, terrible time. Many, many people were killed. And a lot of medical teams went in. And this team of doctors went in on a medical mission to Haiti after the earthquake. And they were working in some incredibly difficult circumstances. They were seeing patients in a makeshift field hospital. It was outside. They didn't have the proper equipment they needed. It was frustrating at times. They were having a real tough time of it. And one day an old Haitian man came up to them, and he was very poor and in great need. And he asked the doctors if they had any water. And they said no, they didn't. They were in the middle of taking care of some very sick people, and they just had so many needs to deal with, and they just said no, we don't have any water. Sorry. The man went on his way, and the doctors returned to their work. Later that day, the old Haitian man returned with bottled water for the doctors. Because he had heard their answer, no, they didn't have any water, not as a rejection of helping him, but as an expression of their need. And he had searched. He'd searched all over the city, and he had found a few bottles of water, and he had brought them to the doctors. Because they had said, no, we don't have any water, and he thought they needed to have some. He brought them a gift of grace. Can you remember a time in your life when you have made an assumption about somebody, or maybe about a group of people, and that person surprised you with a moment of grace towards you? Who have you learned to accept as somebody equally worthy in God's sight? When have you had a negative impression of somebody and then had it turned around suddenly and the person ended up being filled with so much grace? When have you been doubtful about a whole group of people and then you were reminded that God loves them too? When have you possibly even looked down on somebody and then you had your mind changed by the grace of God? When have you gotten to know people and found out they weren't who you expected them to be, but they were also beloved children of God? What are the stories that you have to tell about how God has changed your mind? Think about the woman who sheepishly had to admit to herself, if not to anybody else, that she had been the cookie thief. Think about the woman who went to the police to admit that, yes, she had been the one chasing other people out of their car. And think about Peter as he went and told the Jerusalem church, we need to change our understanding here. Our understanding of these people that we previously thought of as outsiders, because now we know that they are people beloved by God, people that God welcomes, God sees the gifts in too. We live in a society right now where many times we're being told to be afraid of people. We're being told it's okay to put down people who are different. I think now more than ever we need to tell these stories of grace to one another. Sometimes we have to be a little humble in telling them because it's admitting that maybe we were not completely right in the past, that we had a misunderstanding. But we need to tell these stories of grace in others. Somebody said it's a little bit like gossiping, but in a good way. It's good gossip, where you kind of are humble yourself and are lifting up other people, telling their stories as they relate to yours, but not in a gossipy kind of way, but in a way that lifts people up. Tell these stories of grace to each other. Tell the stories of your own misgivings. Tell the stories of when your mind has been changed about someone else. Tell the stories about strangers who have become your friends. Tell the stories about outsiders that you have learned to know and trust. I heard someone the other day talking about an exchange student who stayed with them and their family and how that gave them a whole different perspective of a different part of the world. Tell the stories of people who are also beloved children of God. These are God's stories, and these are your stories, and they are mine. They're stories of grace and peace and love. And the world needs to hear them now. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for opening up the heart and the mind of Peter. We thank you that your Holy Spirit works in us to change our hearts and minds as well, to open us to new possibilities, to help us see people in new ways, to help us see the grace in them. Help us to know that these are godly stories, and they are important stories for our lives and for our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.